In 1868, after the Civil War, they set aside a day to decorate the graves of those who had fallen. It was called Decoration Day. They would decorate the graves of both the soldiers from the North and the South, and it would be a time to recognize and remember. This then morphed into what we call today Memorial Day. Now, growing up in the St. Louis area and then moving to the South, when people began to refer to Memorial Day as Decoration Day, I was kind of clueless on that. But then if you talk with folks from the South, you think the Civil War happened like in the last few weeks too, some of them. It was an important reminder. If you would go to our nation's capital, you would come across monuments and memorials that stand as reminders. You would see the Washington Monument and the Lincoln Memorial and the Jefferson Memorial, and you could walk by the war memorials that are there. They are significant reminders. They challenge us to look back and to look at what has been done. They are there to honor someone or something that has happened. Memorials are important. But memorials didn't start after the Civil War. They didn't even start with the founding of our nation. We find back in the Old Testament, and in particular in the passage in which we look, that the children of Israel are commanded to build a memorial, a faith memorial. So take your Bibles and turn with me to Joshua chapter 4 as we're talking about moving forward. Joshua chapter 4, and we're going to pick up in verse number 1. I'm going to encourage you to keep your Bible open. We're going to refer to several verses in the chapter, but we'll pick up in verse number 1 together, Joshua 4, 1. And it came to pass when all the people had completely crossed over the Jordan that the Lord spoke to Joshua, saying, take for yourselves 12 men from the people, one man from every tribe, and command them, saying, take for yourselves 12 stones from here, out of the midst of the Jordan, from the place where the priest's feet stood firm. You shall carry them over with you and leave them in the lodging place where you lodge tonight. Then Joshua called the 12 men to whom he had appointed from the children of Israel, one man from every tribe. And Joshua said to them, cross over before the ark of the Lord, of the ark of the Lord your God, into the midst of the Jordan, and each one of you take up a stone on his shoulder according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you when your children ask in times to come, saying, what do these stones mean to you? And with that, let's pray. God, I ask that you would take our time together, Lord, and Father, that you would move. God, challenge us to be people who leave testimonies of faith for our world, for our children, for ourselves, that we can be reminded of your great and mighty acts. In your name, amen. The crossing of the Jordan River is of such significance that Joshua takes two chapters, chapter 3, where we see the priests as they walk in and the water divides, and chapter 4 as they build the memorials. This is an absolutely significant event. Now, lest you think that these people were people different than us and people of amazing faith, remember, as I shared with you last week from chapter 3 and verse number 15, that as the priests were carrying the ark together and they were walking, chapter 3 and verse number 15 says that they dipped their feet into the water. We don't get this necessarily this courageous running sprint toward the water. Instead, we see that they dip their feet in the water. And unless you think that the people are different than we are, if you notice in about verse number 10 of chapter 4, it says at the very end of that verse that the people hurried over. You can imagine if this had happened in our day and a kid pulls out his cell phone to take a picture and his mom and dad are like, hey, no time for selfies with this water. Let's hurry. We've got to move. There is this focused determination and this sense of hurrying. We've got to get through. And yet, we find that God moves in such a marvelous and miraculous way that stones are set up so that it will be forever etched into their minds. There is a power to remember. There is a power to remember. Our memories are powerful things. Our memories have the ability to shape us and to train us. Our memories have the ability to push us on. Sometimes our memories have that ability to hold us back. Some of us, when we look back at memories in our life, can move forward triumphantly. Others, when we look at memories in our life, we feel trapped. We wonder if we could ever break out. There is the power of memory. They are called to build a pile of stones as a memorial. Now, these weren't just little rocks that you could skip across the water. You notice that they were taking 12 stones and putting them on their shoulder and walking across. Our memories are powerful. But sometimes just as powerful is our frailty to forget. Sometimes as believers, when we face a challenge and have walked with God for years and we've seen God for 10 or 20 or 30 or 40 or 50 years show himself faithful in instance after instance, we come to that point in our life when we face another trial and suddenly we are stricken with spiritual amnesia. We forget all about what God has done. We lose track of how God has shown himself faithful in our life time after time, so that memories have the power to fade over time. And that stark reminder that at one time was so etched in your life and so passionate on your heart, so miraculous, that over time, the awe and the wonder begins to dwindle. So God commands the children of Israel to build a memorial. Actually, if you look at this text, they're going to build two memorials. They're going to build the one that we just talked about. The 12 men went down into the Jordan. After everyone had crossed, it is just the priests with the ark and these men. And they take a stone and they put it up on their shoulder and they walk across. But if you notice over also in verse number 9, it says the children of Israel, they built the stones as a memorial. But notice verse 9. The children of Israel did so just as Joshua commanded. And they took up 12 stones from the midst of the Jordan as the Lord had spoken to Joshua, according to the number of tribes of the children of Israel. And they carried them over to the place where they lodged and they laid them down there. But notice verse number 9. Then Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of the Jordan, and the place where the feet of the priests who bore the Ark of the Covenant stood. There's another memorial. This one is Joshua himself. The only ones in the river right now are the priests. And Joshua goes down himself into the water, and he builds up a memorial. At this point, it is just him and the presence of the Lord. I think God was giving Joshua an extra sense of knowing and understanding my hand and my presence. And as you lead, know that I am leading you. There's a memorial that's left in the water. Joshua has put it there. There's the memorial that the men have carried, and Joshua then arranges those stones. It is the power to remember, a faith memorial. Can I tell you that in your spiritual life today, that you need to be building memorials? That there needs to be marks and moments of testimony in our life and in our family and before our world. This is something that needs to happen in our life today. And I think there's a fresh challenge for us as we look at this passage and we see the significance of this moment, that we need to mark and diligently mark the spiritual moments where God has shown himself strong in our life, lest we forget. So let's look and think about the context of Joshua 4 and look at the challenges, I think, that are faced before us. First off, I think that we are called and challenged to build faith memorials in our life to encourage our faith. Notice back in verse number 6 that this may be a sign among you. Build memorials to encourage your faith. Now, I realize that you're probably not going to go out into your backyard and put stones there. But there are powerful ways in which you can share and build memorials in your life. You have a phone or you have a photo album and you take a picture and you're reminded of how God comes through in our life. This week, I took a few moments and just went back through and looked at some pictures and was reminded of how God has shown himself strong in our life and in our family's life. And you know what it does? It energizes your faith. It encourages you and says, man, this was a difficult time. As I go back and I look and I read through journals and prayer requests that I've written in the past, that's why I encourage you, no matter where you are, you can start today and just begin to write down the things that how God is working and moving in your life and write down the prayer requests and the things that you're praying for. And then you go back and you read that and you realize, man, I didn't know if I was even going to make it, but here I am today. God, you were strong and mighty and faithful. There is the power to encourage your faith through looking and recognizing these memorials. That's what he says in verse 6. These are going to be a sign among you. See, memorials have this ability to renew our focus on God. Did you see here that the memorial is not built for Joshua and it's not built for the priests? The memorial was built to change people's focus and to remember and recognize the hand and to keep their focus on God. Memorials renew our focus on God. That's the challenge of them. Again, it's not about Joshua, and it's not about priests, and it's not about the river. It's about God and his hand and his moving and how he led the 12 tribes. It's all about God and his work. Isaiah would say in Isaiah 43 that as you go through the waters, listen, I'm going to be with you, and you go through the overflow of the rivers, they're not going to overflow you, in Isaiah chapter 43 and verse number 2. And this is the challenge that these people had. We look at these stones and we think, God, how great you are. Now remember, they are crossing the Jordan. They are now in Canaan, the promised land, but they are also amid enemies. They will go to bed that night, and they will sleep in a new place with new insecurities. No longer is the Jordan River dividing them between the enemies that were on the other side. Now they must depend on God in a fresh and a new way. These memorials there are the reminder. Look, God didn't bring us through the Jordan to leave us. Can I tell you? God didn't bring you through that sickness, through the challenge of that finances in your life, through those relational challenges in your life to leave you now. Matter of fact, he promises that he'll never leave you nor forsake you. For God to leave us would be beyond what his character can allow. So it renews our focus on who He is. But not only does it renew our focus, but it renews our passion for God. We're reminded that as we experience and see God move, we think, man, my God is great and He's awesome and He's mighty and I want to serve Him and I want to know Him more and I want to love Him better. It renews our passion for God, and then it renews our vision. What's going to happen in the next few days? They're going to come up against a place called Jericho. They're going to begin to enter into lands that have been inhabited by those who are following other gods and will not bow the knee or submit their heart to His plan. They are entering enemy territory. And the memorials are to bring a fresh vision. Now notice, they didn't carry the memorials with them. They left them. They actually left them here at Gilgal. That's the name of the city here. And it's shown there down later in verse number 20. Those 12 stones which they took out of the Jordan, Joshua set up in Gilgal. Okay? They did not carry the stones with them everywhere they went. They were not to hinder them from moving forward. They were to renew their faith and their vision and passion as they moved forward. See, sometimes when God does something, sometimes when someone the Lord burns on their heart to do something or to give something, we feel like, man, wherever we go, we've got to carry that with us. That's not the picture at all. They left the stones, and they moved on, and they moved forward. Memorials are never to be a hindrance. Memorials are only to be a help to build our faith as we move forward. They were to be reminded, my God is big and strong and mighty and powerful and faithful and good. He is great. He has made His promises known and He has kept His promises. And God, I trust You. Memorials are to encourage our faith. I would encourage you, go back, look through a photo album. Relive some of the memories when you didn't think that you were going to make it. Go back to when you were a young couple and you would run out of money before you ran out of month. And you think about those times in your life when God showed Himself strong and faithful. Memorials encourage our faith. But not only were the memorials called to encourage their faith, but secondly, memorials are to inspire our children. Build memorials to inspire your children. Now, we stopped right there at verse number 7. But in verse 6, it says, when the children ask in times to come, saying, what do these stones mean? Then you shall answer them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord when it crossed over the Jordan. The waters of the Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial to the children of Israel forever. Now notice down in verse number 21. Then He spoke to the children of Israel, saying, when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what are these stones? Then you shall let your children know, saying, Israel crossed over this Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan before you until you had crossed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which He dried up before us until we had crossed over. There's a picture here. When your kids come and ask, what are all these stones here for? You tell them. Memorials were built to instill confidence in the hearts and lives of the children. They were to be confidence builders and confidence boosters. They were to recognize that God is God. That's why He makes such a big deal that He mentions this twice. Memorials instill confidence in God. Twice the children come, and twice He gives the answer. When I look at my life, giving really has never been an issue for me. I mean giving as in to the church and tithing. Do you know why? When I was a boy, I don't know if I was fifth grade, third grade, somewhere in there. And listen, I can remember this. Can't remember exactly how old I was, but I can remember. I'm standing, we had our family room table, and it was a long table because there were lots of us. And I'm standing there by my mom's desk, and I'm watching her do bills. And she was writing out her tithe and sticking in an offering envelope. And I don't know how even the conversation came up, but she tells me this. There were months we didn't make it on paper, but God was always faithful. You know what that did for me? That instilled a tremendous confidence in God, that I can trust Him, that He is trustworthy, that I'm a whole lot better off living on 90% or less than I am trying, with God's blessing, than I am living on 100% by myself. It instilled this sense of confidence. Listen, there were six of us kids in 9 years. My mom stayed home. She was a stay-at-home mom. And then my youngest brother, Chris, came along later. But listen, there were times, and I can absolutely attest and say, man, there were times it was tight when we were growing up. But God always provided. Nights like last night when there was a storm, my dad worked for Union Electric. My dad loved to call out, man. I'm telling you, no one loved a storm more than my dad. That meant overtime. And whether it was snow, ice, I really think that he was rooting for the bad weather as much as us kids were when it came to snow days and those kinds of things. It was God providing. It instilled confidence. Memorials instill confidence. I'll never forget that conversation. But not only do they instill this confidence, that this faith building, but they are to instill courage as your kids move forward. They are to instill courage. In just a few years, my kids will move out of the house. Right, guys? And when they launch, I want them to know that they can walk forward with courage in the Lord, that He will see them through. See, there's this sense in which there is confidence and saying, man, I know God did that. And then there's this sense in which I can courageously move forward. This spring, and we weren't thinking about this message at all, but this spring, we went to Memphis over spring break and spent a couple days, and we drove by our little house in the loop of the 240 loop in Memphis on North Perkins and showed our kids where we lived, and we showed them our first apartment where we moved to Memphis, and we told them stories about how God provided a dryer and how God actually opened someone's heart to give us a car when we were in seminary. I came home after donating bone marrow to my brother, and man, there was three $100 bills in an envelope. Someone had mailed it to the church and put my name on it. I thought, dude, they got a whole lot more confidence in the United States Postal Service than I do. But especially 25 years ago when $300, man, that it still is. I mean, that's a lot of money, and I just think, God, you were so faithful. God, you're so faithful. See, parents, it's not good enough for your kids just to know that there's a God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. Just not. Our kids need to know that the God of Grandma and Grandpa Purstrope and Grandma and Grandpa Plymail and Mom and Dad are the same God that they can trust and move forward with in life. That's what we as parents, listen, as parents, We don't want our kids just to grow up and have a good job and marry someone who's decent. Listen, if that's your goal, then you're missing it. The challenge of our life is to instill this courage for God that says we can move forward. We can follow God's will. We can do it. We can say, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, every step of the way of our life. And we know that He will be faithful because just like He was faithful to my grandparents and just like He was faithful to my parents, He's going to be faithful to me. But here's the challenge of our life, parents. If we're not living a life of faith, then we have nothing to pass. The challenge is this. They had just come through the Jordan. They're building a memorial for their kids, and their kids are to grasp that faith and to move forward in it. And I realize there's no guarantees. There's no guarantee that our kids are going to grasp it and wholeheartedly hold on to it and follow the faith all of their life. But I can't tell you, we can live it out. And instead of just telling and talking, we can just live out this courageous faith and let them just be permeated in it every day. That's the challenge of our life. Being a pastor is really important to me. But way more important than being a pastor is being a parent. I was looking this week. Dennis did the history of our church. I'm the 23rd pastor here. Had 23. And yet Luke, Joel, Micah, and Josh have one dad. And the challenge of my life is to live out my faith before the church? Absolutely. To show my faith? Yes. To lead and under God's leadership in my life? Yes. But more important is what I take home and how I live it out at home. Because I'll be honest with you, you can give me the biggest church in the nation or the world, but if I lose my kids, it's not worth it. It's just not. So the challenge of our life is to build memorials not only for our life, but for our children. And as we build memorials for our life and we're reminded of God's faithful hand, we just need to let our kids in on the stories. Thirdly, we build memorials not only to encourage our faith and not only to inspire our kids, but we build faith memorials to enlighten our world. Notice the last verse of this chapter. Verse number 24. Pick up in verse 23 so you catch the context. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan before you until you had crossed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up before us until we had crossed over. Now notice verse 24. That all the peoples of the earth may know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that you may fear the Lord your God forever. Build memorials to enlighten your world. The memorials first give proof of God. They give proof. This memorial's here. We've walked across the Jordan at flood stage, maybe upwards of a mile wide. These priests carrying the ark, they walked through, they dipped their feet in. God opened up the waters, and it was amazing. And now the memorial is not just for the children of Israel and for the children of Israel's children, but it's for the world. It's a testimony. God is alive. God is at work. God is real. That's the picture. That when our faith steps out, our faith is going to stand out. And when our faith steps out and stands out, people are going to notice. Not that they're interested in noticing us, but they need us to notice the God that's in us. It gives proof of God. But it also gives proof of God and His mighty hand and His mighty work. It shows the power of God. Notice. That they may know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty. Does the world know that we have a powerful God? Those in Canaan are about to find out. But when we live out our walk of faith, and we walk by faith and not by sight, the world can't help but notice there's something different in him or her. There's a God, and he's real, and he's powerful, and I see it in his life. Lest you think I have the same conclusion every week, this is going to sound like the same conclusion that I've shared many times at the end of the message. How do I encourage my faith, inspire my children, enlighten the world? Write out and know your testimony. Hey, I've been beating this drum for a year and a half. My epitaph is going to say, he wrote out his testimony. Did you? Why? Because it reminds us of what God did for us in Jesus. And it gives something important to pass to our children. We're not looking to do any more funerals this year. Jerry has done a bunch and I've done a few. But you know, when I'm able to stand and to read someone's testimony at their funeral, it inspires family members and enlightens those who don't know Jesus. That man or woman that you've talked to about the Lord and they've never come to faith, it may be just hearing it fresh and new. It's that testimony. It's the power of how God has worked in your life. It's a memorial. Let's just be really honest just for a minute. The house is going up for sale, folks, if you die, probably. The cars, they're on the market. All the stuff you worked hard to collect, eBay, garage sale, donation, fish, disabled veterans, Goodwill. What's really going to matter? Your testimony. But what really matters right now? The stuff? It doesn't. I want to give you a bigger and sharper and deeper focus than just stuff. It's about the Lord working in your life personally. I've preached mainly to believers about how God's worked in their life. But when we come down to it, when someone steps into these waters of baptism, you know what they're doing? They're sending a powerful symbol or memorial that they're saying, look, I believe that Jesus was alive and he died on the cross for my sin and he rose again. That's what I believe. That's why they go down under the water and back up. And it pictures, this is my life. I was alive, but I had sinned. And God took all those sins and he buried them. And now he's given me a new life. A powerful memorial that the Lord has given the church. Next week, we'll have the Lord's Supper. It's a picture of the body and the blood of Jesus. It's a powerful memorial symbol. We don't do it as part of our salvation. We do it to remember who Jesus is and what he's done. They're powerful symbols. They send the message, the testimony that is uniquely yours. And of over 6 billion people in the world, no one has a testimony as unique as yours. It's like your fingerprint or thumbprint. It's unique. So the question is, Are you living a life worth remembering? And if so, have you written it down, how God's worked so that the generations can know, that your children and your children's children can know that there is a God and He is powerful. And when they face the difficulties and the crossroads of the future, they can trust and move forward with confidence and courage in Him alone.